The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, now we're joined by Eoin Sheen from Off the Ball to talk about all the weekend sport, and there's a feast of sport in prospect for us, especially the hurling and the rugby. Early morning start tomorrow morning for the rugby.
Yeah, indeed. The first test against the All Blacks for Ireland's tomorrow morning shortly after 8 o'clock our time, and I think maybe the Maori game midweek, while it's unimportant, I think it's probably just tempered expectations a touch. Maybe we don't need the expectations to be tempered at all, because it is 28 years since the All Blacks have been beaten at Eden Park. Their decision to put the first test there probably suggests their intentions for this tour. They're not happy around how last November went. It's not just the Irish who gave them a bit of a rude awakening. It was also the French game a week later, which kind of woke them up a little bit. And things haven't been good in terms of mood music around the All Blacks ever since then. So this summer is all about proving themselves. And when the All Blacks are angry, they're not a beast to be messed with. So maybe this is too much of a negative outlook. Maybe Ireland will be absolutely sublime over these next few weeks. But I do think if they manage to get one test win, it will be a hell of a result.
I mean, we could hardly field a better team than we have done. You know,
that's true.
The problem, isn't it?
It's true. And I think maybe what midweek exposed is that when you drill down to a certain level in the Irish team, the quality drops off far more significantly than it would do for a team like the All Blacks or for a bigger country like England or South Africa. And that's been the old chestnut for Ireland. In tournament rugby, when the injuries start rolling in, is Ireland's second string 15 or a team with 5 to 7 changes good enough to beat a team in knockout rugby? And the answer has always been no. So the context around this year's tour is getting 40 players that are tournament ready, knockout rugby ready. Andy Farrell has said that, and it's going to be a big challenge to try and get to that number.
Other rugby internationals as well, South Africa and Wales. You'd expect South Africa to do the business there. Argentina and Scotland might be an entertainment, I would suspect.
Absolutely. I mean, two of the better teams when it comes to that level of entertainment. When it comes to Wales, South Africa would be in the same, maybe not the same boat as the All Blacks, but anything other than 3 wins in that series would be a bit of a nightmare from their perspective, which shows exactly where their sights are set. And of course, the other tour this summer is the Wallabies against England, and what is going to be an interesting few weeks in terms of Eddie Jones's future. I was going to say defining, but I don't think it is defining. I think that the RFU will stick with him until the end of the World Cup because of the record he has every 4 years. Now the thing is, they could get beaten 3 times by Australia and the mood music could change to a point where it does get significant, but I don't think so.
Moving on to golf and Mount Juliet, and we're early stages at this point.
We are indeed. The overnight leader was Ryan Fox from New Zealand as well, actually. He was asked about the rugby after his round yesterday. He's a big rugby fan, and he finished up 8-under par yesterday. He's off at 2:10 this afternoon. There's been a couple of early players out this morning that have joined him on 8-under. You've got Zanotti, and you've got Aaron Rye, who have both got 2 8-under par. Seamus Power and Niall Kearney were the two on 4-under par yesterday, the best of the Irish going into day 2 at Mount Juliet. But the scoring is low, and it should be hopefully a pretty entertaining couple of days of action.
All right, so definitely Ryan Fox, if he continues the form, he will be out in the afternoon tomorrow, so the match might impact on his mental.
Well, it very well could do, unless he has an absolute calamity today and is out at the same time as the rugby tomorrow. That could be the worst case scenario. I should mention Shane Lowry is at 1-under par. He tees off at 2 o'clock today, hoping for a much better day today than he had yesterday, and Padraig Harrington just won ahead of him on 2-under.
Now we have the intriguing hurling semi-finals. We've got Kilkenny and Clare 5:30 tomorrow, and then on Sunday at 3:30 we've got Limerick and Galway. I mean, we talked last week about the possibility of Kilkenny versus Galway in a final and another handshake.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just as likely, and if you're looking at the odds for this, it's probably more likely that it's going to be a Limerick-Clare final and a repeat of the Munster final. One of those two fixtures, obviously, is more likely to be a dramatic one than the other one, and that is, of course, Kilkenny-Clare tomorrow at 5:30. Clare are only slight favourites, but you can be sure that Kilkenny are telling themselves that everybody thinks Clare are heavy, heavy favourites, because Kilkenny have this great ability of creating the siege mentality, this idea that everybody's writing them off and pulling out a performance that people might be surprised with. But they are Leinster champions. They have won a big game at Croke Park already this season, and Liam Sheedy was writing in the Examiner during the week just about this Croke Park factor for these hurling teams, because they only get there come All-Ireland hurling semi-final day, and it is a total different game. Kilkenny and that Croke Park experience could prove crucial tomorrow. Tony Kelly's only played in Croker a handful of times, and obviously Clare's chances are very much dependent on him. The one thing I would say is that this weekend, this All-Ireland semi-final weekend, since the two fixtures have been put into the Saturday and Sunday over the last few years, has always delivered. If you leave out the COVID years, like the 2018 and 2019 semi-final weekends were the best weekends of the Irish sporting calendar in both of those years. I just feel something crazy could happen on Sunday in that Limerick-Galway game. I could be totally wrong. The evidence suggests I'm going to be totally wrong, and I do think Limerick will beat Galway, but there's just something about this weekend that delivers magic and delivers suspense, and I'm not sure. It's just a total foregone conclusion just yet, 3:30 on Sunday, that Limerick will have it all their own way against Galway.
Now, you should be settling down to that just after you've watched the British Grand Prix.
Yes, or the fallout from the British Grand Prix. It feels like nobody's been talking about Silverstone this week, given all the off-field controversy, really.
Yeah, I mean, we played Bernie Eccleston's comments yesterday that he'd take a bullet for Putin, and people are just wondering, is he really all there at the moment? But perhaps that's, I mean, all these rich guys kind of stick together, the billionaires club. So who knows? Anyway, the nose ring.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton's nose ring.
You're not a fan.
I don't care whether he wears it or not. I'm sure it's a health and safety thing, that if they have to pull you out of a burning car, they're worried that the nose ring might melt or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not just about nose rings. It's about all jewellery, which might have an impact on, you know, trying to rescue you in extremists.
And facing a ban for such a thing is possibly like a little bit of an over-egging of it all. Of course, the FIA will say that it is a health and safety thing, and it's a jewellery ban, as you say. It's not
But I mean, some of these guys could have nipple rings, and they're not going to be inspected by the FIA.
No, probably not, to be fair. That would be quite a thorough examination if they were to find out if somebody was to have it. Like, obviously, the funniest part of all of this was that Lewis Hamilton, after the announcement that there could be some sort of jewellery ban, he showed up to the, this was back last month, wasn't it, when it was initially announced, he showed up to the Miami Grand Prix press conference wearing like 8 rings, 4 necklaces and a whole load of other bling. So I don't think these sort of bans really bother Lewis Hamilton too much. It'd be a little bit controversial if they were to do so, but it's just one of these stories that's probably dominated the headlines over the last little while, much like the Bernie Eccleston stuff, and probably on a more grim level the Nelson Piquet conversation. You know, the British Racing Drivers Club have suspended him because of his racist comments around Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton has hit back, saying older voices shouldn't be given a platform around Formula One anymore.
Yeah, there's also some other stuff going on. Of course, in cycling, we had that raid on a team bus looking for drugs. We've Wimbledon going on. It's never ending.
It isn't. Like, I mean, I think this, as I said, this weekend is like generally one of the best when it comes to the hurling. It is still so unusual that on a weekend where you would be used to, maybe next weekend is the weekend you'd be used to seeing maybe the Munster football final and the Leinster hurling final and the Wimbledon final all on the same day. Wimbledon isn't even on finals weekend, and we're already going to know our All-Ireland finalists. It feels like the whole summer has been skewed somewhat by the whole calendar change. But I think the counterpoint to that is that we've got this incredible few weeks of GAA jam-packed together. We may not have the time to let storylines breathe and into the All-Ireland finals. Maybe people won't be happy with it, but God, it's absolutely hell for leather at the moment, and there's going to be a lot to talk about in the back of this GAA weekend as well, I suspect.
Owen Sheen from Off the Ball, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.